and welcome to David's Book Talk. We have a very special guest. She's a New York Times bestselling author. Her name is Karen Slaughter, and she writes the Grant County series of crime thrillers. I guess you'd call them crime thrillers, wouldn't you?
Well, whatever you want, just as long as you read
them. That's a good response. I like to think of them as crime thrillers, but they're definitely thrillers, and they're definitely very intense.
Well, thank you. That's what I'm going for.
I must admit, first of all, Broken, which is the new book we're going to talk about today, which is just out from Random House, which is book number, is it 11 or 12?
Oh, it's actually 10.
10.
Yes.
It's 10.
I've done some short story collections. You're probably counting those.
10, yeah. Is just, I was up till 2 in the morning reading this book last night.
Well, thank you.
I mean, it's one of those books that just gets better as it goes along. I mean, the more you get into it, the more you get drawn into this world, and I just love that. I just absolutely love the way. Is that difficult to write like that?
Well, you know, I write the books from start to end. I don't go back and forth. So I think that gives me the ability to keep the momentum going and get the tone of the book right, because you really want it to be like a heartbeat that's getting faster and faster and faster, and then, you know, the last chapter kind of takes you down to a resting rate. And so when I'm writing, I'm very conscious that that book has to have that kind of heartbeat.
Yeah, the book's like, I think, 398 pages, something like that, almost 400 pages. And I'm amazed at how you're able to tell a story and have it with such detail. I mean, coming up with the idea has got to be the easy part, but having all this detail, knowing where you're going with the book, knowing all the little intricate details, the clues, who the killer is going to be and what's going to happen, is that difficult for you to come up with, or does that come easy too?
Well, there are different parts that are hard and different that are easy. I always know who the bad guy is before I am finished with the first chapter, because I like to make sure that my reader can figure out as they're reading the book what's actually going on. You know, I want them to be able to step right into the detective's shoes, but I also want to make sure that if they figure it out before my detective, there's also some sort of mystery of character that keeps them reading and makes them want to know, well, am I really right about this, or how is Will going to figure out who this person is, and how is it all going to shake out?
It's interesting with Will. I mean, Will's a very different character than you usually come across in crime thrillers. He's a bit unsure of himself.
He is, and that's on purpose on my part, because I was very conscious that I didn't want to just write another Jeffrey Tolliver, and Jeffrey's from my other series of books. So
right.
When I was working on Will, I thought, well, let me take everything Jeffrey is, you know, very self-confident, very physically confident of himself, and take that away from Will. And one way I did that was giving him a language disorder, which is dyslexia. Now, he can read. It just takes him longer to read stuff than it would a normally fluent person without this disorder. And it slows him down a bit. It's also something he's very ashamed of. Mm-hmm. And that serves to suck his self-confidence away. It's a big secret he keeps from everyone else. And a lot of times when he's investigating people, he has, I guess, a sort of sympathy with the person he's investigating, because he understands what it's like when you have something that you're trying to hide.
Absolutely. And he's so different from anything. I mean, you can feel so much, you feel so almost sorry for the guy because of what he's going through and how he's going to get over this eventually. I mean, we think he's going to, I mean, he may never be totally normal, but the little simple things in life that we do, reading the paper and reading bills, he has trouble doing.
That's true, but I think it also makes him a very good detective, because he doesn't rely on the sorts of things that normal detectives rely on. He doesn't get email. He doesn't have technology at his fingertips. He doesn't, you know, easily read a report. So a lot of times he'll get something that, you know, someone would normally read, and he'll say to the person who gave it to him, well, what do you think of that? And they'll have a conversation about it, and he'll be able to glean through the conversation what's in the report. And sometimes that sets him on a different path of thinking about something than it would if he had been able to read the actual report. So I think he's learned a very skillful way of becoming a very good detective because of, not despite of, his dyslexia.
And then we wonder, are he and Sarah are attracted to each other? And, of course, everybody in town thinks they are, and I think they've already been together. It's amazing how you do that. And it's just, I like that kind of not knowing where that's going. And that makes you want to read another book.
Well, that's my evil plan, is to keep people reading more of my books. But, you know, nothing is ever easy in my books for people. So there are definitely some obstacles between those two. And you know, Sarah is coming off of a what she thought of as a perfect relationship, and so it's, she's got very high standards as far as that's concerned, and, you know, it's just going to be a not as easy as you think it is. And, you know, plus Will is married. He has this wife, Angie, who he's known more than half his life. He knew her when he was a kid, and he feels very close to her, and they've basically got war wounds because of what they survived when they were kids. So he has a very solid connection to her that's hard to break.
Yeah, I mean, but that is what you do so well. You write such interesting characters. I mean, none of your characters are ever boring. You never have a boring character. There's always something that goes along with the character. And that's what makes the books exciting to read. And that's what makes me coming back each time, is knowing that I'm going to have these intense characters. And anything could happen to anybody at any time.
Well, it's true. You know, I don't pull any punches as far as my characters are concerned. But I also see them as real people. And Lena Adams is a character who's always been very clear in my mind. And I wanted readers to root for her sometimes, and sometimes just want to grab her and shake her, because she makes really bad decisions sometimes. And she ends up getting herself into a lot of trouble. But one thing about Lena is she's very forgiving of herself. And so when she does get into trouble or she messes something up, she always has this sense that, you know, it can be taken care of. She can find a way out of it. She's very much a survivor.
I can't imagine the books without Lena. Lena's just one of those characters that's so memorable that, I mean, the thought of having a book without her would kind of disappoint me. Do you feel the same way?
Well, I certainly wouldn't have a Grant County book without her, even though, you know, she's taking a very different path at the end of this book. Mm-hmm. I'm not ever going to lose her as a character. She's just too fascinating to me, and I may throw her in cases later on, but this next book is back in Atlanta. Will is there working with the GBI still, the Georgia Bureau of Investigation, and Sarah is working at Grady Hospital, and of course something really awful happens, and Faith Mitchell, who's Will's partner, gets pulled in.
Oh, she's great too. Even though she's on the phone half this book, she's more on the phone than we actually see her in person, although we feel like we see her.
Yeah, well, I didn't want Will to have so many women henpecking him in his life. I like that he's caught between Sarah and Lena, and I like that the reader doesn't know who to trust. You know, Sarah is usually a very reliable narrator. You can usually take what she says to the bank, but she's certainly blinded the way she sees Lena in this book, and she's got this sense of vengeance in her soul, and she wants Lena to finally get caught doing something that sends her away, or at least stops her from being a cop. And, you know, Will doesn't know who to trust, so what he finds out in the end is hopefully what the reader finds out, which is Lena and Sarah are both right, and they're both wrong about many things.
Right. Yeah, it's just great. I love that you have so many damaged characters in your book, and damaged characters always make for more interesting reading. Let's face it, they do.
Well, I hope so. You know, that's why I made a really hard decision a few books ago in Grant County to switch things up, because no one wants to read about really happy, well-adjusted people. It's
right.
A very boring prospect. So I wanted to change things, and, you know, I made a decision some people might not have agreed with. I don't want to spoil anything.
No, I don't either.
Credits.
I don't want to.
You know, it's about taking risks for me and making sure that I'm keeping my stories good and fresh, and I didn't want to do what I did without having a clear reason and without having it resonate through both series.
Yeah, exactly. But the problem is the people that are your fans miss the characters, and they always want those same characters because they feel comfortable with them. So,
right.
But if you're going to write books the way you write them, and you have to, things are going to happen, or it wouldn't be realistic.
Well, that's true, and I do write realistic stories. You know, I think that's some of the reason why people find my books scary is because I write about things that could actually happen. You could see how they could transpire.
Absolutely, and that's what I mean. That's what I like, and I can't. I assume that most of your fans like that. Well, what do you get a lot of angry letters when you do something that people don't like?
Well, you do. I did certainly, but they've come around for the most part. I mean, there are still some diehard haters out there, but I think that I've made up for it with subsequent books. Undone was a really pivotal book for me, not just for my career, but as a writer, because I had done this thing in this earlier book, and I needed to make it count. And with Undone, when I'm writing about you know, Sarah living in Atlanta and her life, I was really conscious of the fact that I was taking my readers through a process, And I think I pulled it off. I got a lot of really nice letters saying I had and that they forgive me for what I did.
Undone is a fabulous book. It really is a terrific book. That's one of those books. I think I read it the first time I read it. I had a power outage here, actually. I was sitting here reading your book. This is true. And it was, I just enjoy that book so much.
Well, thanks.
What do you, are you sticking with one word titles now? Is that something that's going to be a pattern in the future? Or is that
well,
just happening?
Some of my books have one word titles, like Blindsided and Kisscut. I Faint Cold Fear, I veered off a little bit.
But it's a great title, though.
Yeah.
Well,
I took it from Shakespeare. I really like the title Broken. I got that from a Hemingway quote. I'm not a huge Hemingway fan for his books. I love his short stories. But he said that the world breaks everyone, and some are stronger in the broken places. And that really plays out in the book, because
oh, yeah.
a lot of people are tried, and they become stronger because of it.
It is. I wonder, writing these books, do you ever get disturbed yourself? Do you ever feel unsettled?
No, you know, because the thing that scares people is not knowing. And I know exactly what's going to happen in my books.
So well, we don't, though.
Yeah, that sound you hear in the middle of the night and you think, is that the cat or is that someone who's broken into my house? You know, that's what terrifies me. But I know what's going to happen, and I think that makes it easier for me to take some risk as far as seeing if I can scare people a little bit more.
And I can't imagine anything scares you. I mean, you, the way you write, I think, this woman's fearless.
Well, Mo Hayder scares me.
Oh, really?
she's a pretty darn good writer. She really scares me with her stuff. And I love Denise Mina. I guess I'm scared because she's such a great writer. It's very daunting to think about.
Do you think, I'm sure you would classify her books as disturbing, and yours can be at times, too. Do you think that makes for better writing, when you write books that are disturbing?
Well, you know, I mean, I don't think of my books as disturbing as Mo Hayder, and that's a big compliment to Mo, by the way. But
I don't think I've read Mo, but I'm going to have to now.
Women writers know how to scare women. 85% of all book buyers in America are women.
Right.
You know, so it's like when I read Tess Gerritsen or Kathy Reichs, you know, they're going to be much different writers than something by Lee Child, for instance. You know, when Jack Reacher finds a body, it's very nuts and bolts. Here's the body, here's the blood, here's the weapon, here's this, here's
right,
that.
Right, right.
And when someone like Tess writes about it, it's this is how I feel, this is the odor in the air, this is the hair on the back of my neck rising, you know. So it's a much more visceral response to the crime, and I think that as a woman reading a woman writing about that and having a woman's reaction, it just keys more into me.
But even as you're writing scenes in your books that are, that can be a little gruesome, that doesn't do it, that doesn't bother you?
No, not really. And you know, it's interesting to me because some people have said stuff about the autopsy scene in this book, and Sarah never even cuts into the body. I just described the equipment that's around there, and she's in the funeral home basement, so there's embalming equipment, and just talking about the equipment freaks some people out, so you can never tell what's going to scare someone.
You know, that's true. You never know what's going to affect people completely. I love that scene. I think it's a very effective scene. You do that, so you do a very good job of describing things in your books. I mean, that's one thing that you are really, really great at.
Well, I try to make sure that everything in my head is on the page, and that's for a lot of writers, that's the difficult part. And there are certainly a lot of people out there who have great stories to tell, but sitting down and actually getting it out, and it's just you and the computer screen, that's the difficult part, and it's also the fun part.
Now, I saw a figure online, and I assume this is correct. You've sold over 20 million books?
Yes.
That's insane.
Well, not personally, but you know, in different languages.
That's a lot of books.
It is. I've been doing this about 10 years now, and I've been blessed to have some very good publishers and even better readers who buy my books.
And you're very popular overseas, from what I hear.
Yeah, it's nice. Not just because I live in Atlanta and it's a great thing to tour in during the summer in another country where it's cooler.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
But it's interesting because I get to go around and meet readers in different countries, and usually they're all the same because they love reading, they love crime fiction, and they love a good story. So we just sit around and talk about books that we've read and stories that we like.
Do they ever say to you, how come you're so nice and you write books that are so graphic?
Yeah.
Do they ever say that to you?
Well, they do, but you know, David, you've met just about everybody in this business, and
yes.
some of these crime writers are just the nicest people.
They are.
And if they ever were, you know, confronted by the criminal types that they write about, they would probably scream like girls and run away. So it's very much a cathartic thing to write these crime fiction novels in some ways, but I also think that it keeps us balanced, you know, because if we were keeping all these things in, we might end up being serial killers or something.
Oh, wow, that's a thought.
Yeah.
I never really thought.
Think about that next time you see Lee Child.
How many countries are you publishing? Do you know?
Well, I don't know the number of countries, but I know it's 30 languages.
That's a lot.
Yeah.
Why do you think your books are so popular? I mean, what is it about them that, I mean, you said that there's a good story every time, there is, and that's true. But what do you think really resonates with people more than anything? Is it that, or is it something else, or is it a combination of things?
I think it's a combination. I mean, I think part of it's just luck. We all know very good writers who aren't as successful. So I'm real conscious that I'm very fortunate to have to be able to be in this position. But for me, I want to be better with every book, and that's my goal. A lot of authors, you know, you hear these horror stories about how they refuse to be edited after a certain point, or, you know, they kind of let the fame go to their heads, in as much as an author can be famous. But I'm very conscious when I'm out touring and I meet people who love my work, that it's my job to give them a good story. And I do all the touring and all the business side of stuff because I want to be a writer, and I don't want to ever lose sight of that. And the writers I know who are still delivering really good books after 10, 15, 20 years of writing are the ones who are still passionate about it, and I still feel very passionate about creating stories.
You seem to know how to keep it fresh, too, each time. I mean, and it can't be easy. I mean, you sit down, you have a blank page. Where do you begin? How do you begin the story?
Well, you know, everybody laughs because I make sure that in the first chapter of every one of my books, usually someone dies. But I think that's a really good way to bring people into the story, because you instantly have your plot device out of the way. Who killed this person? And, you know, your next chapter, you're going to bring in your detectives. They're going to find the body. But it just, to one degree, that is a formula. But to another degree, it sort of gives you some sort of space to develop the character. Because the crimes may not be so different. You know, you can only kill someone in so many ways. But how the character responds to that crime could be different every time. And one thing I'm very careful about is I make sure that if there's a crime in one of my books, my characters respond to it in a realistic way. They're changed by it. It means something to them. They feel the need to prevent it from happening again. So you have that emotional pull through the character. You know, and to me, that's the whole point of reading series fiction and good crime fiction is, you're not so interested in Lee Child. You want to know what Jack Reacher's going to do.
Absolutely.
And it's the character that you most identify with, and you want to know what the mystery of this character is, because every character, every writer I know, every character they write, has some sort of secret about them. And that secret may not make it on the page, but the reader feels that there's a mystery there.
Do you know, like five books down the line, what's going to happen to Lena, what's going to happen to Sarah, what's going to happen to Will? Do you know in your mind already what's going to happen, or does it play out while you're writing the books?
Well, I have a general idea of where they're going three or four books ahead.
Oh, I want to know. Tell me.
No, that would kind of ruin it. And then
not for me. I'd love it.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of know where they're going. Lena's not in this next book.
But she's not.
Show up again. Yeah, we're back in Atlanta, and Lena's
right.
in Macon now at the end of, well, I'm sure.
Right, absolutely,
but
yeah.
You'll
yeah.
have to find out why by reading the book.
Absolutely.
You know, what's going to happen between all these characters is part of the mystery of the series. When I plan these books out, I'm very aware of that that's a secret that I'm going to keep slowly unrolling as the books go on.
Right. But for some reason, when you're a real fan, it's hard to wait. It's
yeah, but
really
you want the
hard.
Stories to be good, so you need to wait, or they wouldn't be very good.
Do you have writers you feel that way about, that you can't wait to see where the character's going next?
Oh, definitely, definitely. I mentioned Denise Minor earlier. I'm just waiting with bated breath for her next one. And she's just such a wonderful writer. and Mo Hayder again, Peter Robinson.
Oh, I love
I've already read the next Lee Child that's out in the fall, and I loved it, but I wish I hadn't read it, because now I'm going to have to wait forever for the next one.
Well, you read more than I have. I haven't read the fall one.
I've been touring, so I have plenty of time on planes and in waiting rooms to read.
That's great. Do you really write in that house that I saw online?
Yeah, I do. That's my cabin.
That's a beautiful house.
Ridge, yeah.
Now, is that where you live also, or is that something in addition to your house?
It's in addition to my house. I live in Atlanta proper, but I go up there when I want to write because I need to unplug and get away from the city and all the excitement there and, you know, get away from the internet specifically and just go up and sequester myself and write my stories.
Now, do you have? I picture this whole wall full of all the character names and what they've done in previous books. And do you actually have something like that?
No, I don't. It's all in my head. If I ever get hit by a bus, I'm screwed.
It really is all in your head?
It's all in my head. Yeah.
How do you keep it all straight? Do you have that good of a memory?
Well, I'm for now, I have a good memory. I mean, who knows what's going to happen in 10 years? But I'm pretty clear on who these characters are. They're very real to me. So it would be like forgetting a detail about a best friend, you know, because I've kind of grown up in my literary life with them, so I feel very close to them.
Now, you go up to this house, and how far is it from where you live? I mean, is it a good distance that you drive?
About 2 hours.
Oh, 2 hours. And
yeah.
And how long do you stay up there? I mean, do you stay up there months at a time?
No, I stay up a couple of weeks at the most because I write at a very hectic rate. I usually get up in the morning at 8, and sometimes I don't finish until 8 at night or well into midnight. I just keep writing and, you know, the story comes to me and I'm really passionate about it, but you can only sustain that for so long before you just are so exhausted you want to die. So 2 weeks is usually the top limit for me.
That's great. I mean, and I would guess that it is peaceful up there and nobody disturbs you.
No, and my dad's right down the road, so it's pretty, you know, good to have him there in case I need someone to, you know, bring me chocolate cake or something.
I saw a picture of you and your dad. It was so nice to see that. I've never seen your dad before. It was very,
yeah,
very interesting.
Great. That was the best. This is the Wall Street Journal article. And that was the best Father's Day gift I think a kid ever gave a dad was to have him in the Wall Street Journal. So I was really happy to do that and call my sisters up and make sure they knew.
As a writer, do you ever have this fear that you're going to lose it?
Well, not until now. Thanks a lot.
No. I don't think
that. I don't think about stuff like that. I don't get freaked out if I don't feel like I want to write. You know, I just kind of take it easy and think I just need to chill a little bit and then the story will come to me. I mean, this isn't to say it won't happen eventually and I won't be able to come back from it. But, you know, I feel pretty secure, at least for now, about the stories I'm telling because I've got ideas for the next 3 or 4 books, so I'm pretty settled there.
Well, let's talk a little bit about Broken, the new one, Broken.
Okay.
First of all, I love the tree on the cover.
Something. That's a great jacket, isn't it? I'm really happy with it.
There's something about it that creates this air of uncertainty and something's wrong, you know?
Right. Someone looking up at the trees. That's never a good thing.
But what I found out, tell me if I'm wrong, I could be wrong about this, but I don't find this book as gruesome as some of the other ones. I found it more psychological.
Well, yeah, and I agree with that. It is more psychological, but that was purposefully done on my part. You know, I've been doing a lot of nasty things in Grant County for 10 years, and I kind of wanted to stretch myself a little bit and be more psychological about the crime. And one of the issues I talk about in the book is rural poverty. I mean, this is a very big issue now with the economy and the toilet.
Right.
And people who are living in urban areas have much more of a social safety net, but people in rural areas are basically screwed. And I wanted to talk about the girl who opens the story, Allison Spooner. You know, she's doing everything right. She has broken the cycle of violence in her family. Her mother was abused. Her grandmother was abused. She said she's not going to be in a relationship like that. She's going to college. She's working at the local diner. I mean, she really is doing everything right, and she's still not getting by. And it leads her to do some desperate things that get her into trouble.
Right. And that's what, everybody in the book is fascinating. It's just, you know, and you feel for the poor woman. I mean, she's struggling. She's really struggling to survive. And there are a lot of people out there like that.
Yeah, it's true.
And you know, you wonder how do they get by? How, I mean, what do I mean? And I'm sure they're doing desperate things. I mean, there's things that are happening today that wouldn't normally be happening, I think, if the economy wasn't the way it was.
Right, right.
Now, all your books are on audio too?
Yes.
And who actually, do you ever do the audios?
No, I don't. You know, I'm not one of these people who likes to hear the sound of my own voice.
Right. I think you have a great voice.
Well, thank you. But it's a different talent to read your book. And a friend of mine, Fidelis Morgan, read a few of her books, and she's a Shakespearean trained actress. But the problem was she kept wanting to edit it as she went along. So it was quite a mind game for her. I don't think I could subject myself to that.
Is there anything in the future with characters other than these characters that you've introduced us to over these 10 books?
Well, I've got some ideas. They're not fully gelled yet, but I certainly am open to doing another standalone or doing a different type of book.
Well, tell me the thrill of writing the standalone. What is it? Is it more interesting to write a standalone?
Well, in many ways it is. You know, the thing about writing a standalone is you get to start from scratch, which can be a challenge on many levels, because if you're writing a series in the same place, you kind of develop a shorthand, you're very familiar with it. But the thrilling thing about a standalone is you don't really have to keep characters around, so you can put them in jeopardy if you need to.
Right, and that must be fun. It's got to be fun to have new characters. I mean, to start on a new path, it's got to be very interesting.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, I knew when I wrote Triptych, for instance, that I would eventually bring Will Trent into the Grant County world. So in many ways, it was really great to have Will in that book. I mean, he doesn't seem like he's the star of Triptych when it starts, but quickly, about around page 60, you learn that he is.
I haven't even asked you. Maybe you want to describe a little bit about what Broken is about, just so people know. We haven't really described the plot too much other than to...
Well, it's hard to say without ruining stuff.
That's true, it is.
But basically, again, we're back in Grant County, and the first chapter, I'll skip the prologue, I've already talked a little about that.
Right.
It has Lena Adams standing at the shores of Lake Grant, where a body has been reported being in the water, an alleged suicide, and she quickly learns that it's not a suicide. And they go to investigate this homicide and think they've got the right person, and it turns out maybe they don't have the right person. And then, you know, some awful stuff happens, and meanwhile, Sarah Linton is back in Grant County for the first time in 4 years. It's Thanksgiving. She's with her family. She doesn't feel like she quite belongs there anymore.
I love her mother. There's something about her mother that just makes me want to hug her.
Yeah. And, you know, Sarah doesn't really feel comfortable at home anymore. And she gets this call to the station and realizes that the police have badly botched this investigation. And she calls in Will Trent, who's with the Georgia Bureau of Investigation, to come in and investigate the police, actually.
That's a very good way of not giving anything away. I love the scenes with Tessa and Sarah. They're quite effective. I mean, you can picture these two sitting on the steps, talking, laughing, and really they really love each other, and it really is effective to me. I mean, they can say anything they want to each other.
Yeah.
Do you have that kind of a relationship with somebody that you're so good at writing it?
Well, you know. Again, the characters are very real to me, and my middle sister and I are very close in age, and we have a very honest relationship with each other, and, you know, we can kind of get on each other's nerves the way Sarah and Tessa do, but we still love each other, and, you know, more often than not, we're having conversations about, you know, our dad and complaining about our dad and things like that. So it is something that I put in the books thinking of my sister.
That's really great. I just love it. I mean, that's another thing I love about your books, that they always have these little scenes that are so effective, and there's so many good ones at the end, and I can't even tell you what they are because I'm giving something away. But they're so effectively written, and they build the suspense so well.
Well, my good friend Jackie Michard has often said that every story is about family. You know, either a character who's defined by family, or rebelling against it, or embracing family. And you know, certainly Sarah's family has always been an important thread through all the books, and they're also a great storytelling device because I do write about some dark topics, and to have her go home and have some lightness and the comic relief of her father, or, you know, these really everyday normal scenes when she's just been at the morgue and found something horrific, to me is a very good balance. And it gives you an appreciation that she's not just this person who does one thing. You know, she's a sister, she's a daughter, she's a wife, you know, she's a friend. She has all these other roles she plays outside of just being a coroner.
I'm curious, can you tell us the title of the next book?
Well, tentatively, it's called Fallen.
Oh, I like that title.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering, is writing everything to you? I mean, does it fulfill everything that you need in your life? I mean, as far as feeling like you've done everything you want to do, or are there still things you want to do?
Well, career-wise, you know, I want to write more books. I want to tell different types of stories. I want to stretch my characters. I want to, you know, hopefully entertain my readers. I can't think of any other job I'd rather be doing. It hits on all levels. I get to be this thing that most people would die to be able to do, which is a full-time writer.
Well, it's interesting because some writers will tell you it's a lot of work, and that, you know, they make it seem like it's like climbing a mountain. But you make it seem like it's a lot smoother. Like it's like you really get up in the morning and you say to yourself, I can't wait to write.
Well, I do have days that are more difficult than others, but I mean, come on, it's like complaining about winning the lottery.
Right, exactly.
You know, I mean, everybody has parts of their job they don't like. You wouldn't be part of the human race if you loved every part of your job. Something would seriously be wrong with you. But, you know, there are so many more wonderful things than bad, so I don't feel like it's wise to complain. And I've never been the kind of person who focuses on the negative parts either, so maybe that's just who I am.
No sleepless nights wondering where you're going to take your story and how you're going to end the book or whether you're going to get it done in time or...
Well, yeah, I mean, all of that, but that's just part of the process.
Yeah. But you make it sound like a fun process, and it is, to read your books, it is fun. For us, it's fun. I mean, I love to read them, and I know you have millions of fans who feel that way.
Well, I'm glad that's coming across, that I'm enjoying it.
Tell me one writer that you mentioned those two already, but is there somebody else that you can't wait for the next book of, that you haven't mentioned already? Is there somebody that inspired you to write?
Well, I was inspired by Flannery O'Connor as a child. Obviously, she's not going to write any new stories.
Yeah,
I love Katherine Harrison.
Okay.
I loved Thicker Than Water and Exposure, I believe, was the name of that. And The Sewell Wife, I even loved that. So I wish she would go back to writing stories like that. I'm really looking forward to Gillian Flynn's next novel. I think she's a great storyteller. She really gets to the psychological core of her characters. She really knows how to balance character and storytelling so that one doesn't overshadow the other. You know, you're equally as interested in who the people are as to what's going to happen.
Yeah, I seem to remember one of hers had a razor blade on the cover. That's what I'm remembering.
Sharp Objects.
And
yeah, that was a great story.
I have not read her yet, but I have heard good things about her.
She's wonderful.
And it's nice. I love hearing writers, what writers read. I love to hear what they have, you know, who they find stimulating to read. It's always interesting because you hear so many different names when you talk to so many different writers. Could you ever retire from writing? Would you ever retire from writing?
Well, I don't know. I suppose if I just felt like I couldn't do it anymore, I'd retire, or maybe I'd take a break. But, you know, right now that's hard to really think about. I'm relatively young.
I don't want you to. I'm just curious whether a writer thinks about that, or whether you're having so much fun that it never even enters your mind. I think you've answered my question now.
Yeah.
Now, you're doing your tour. How many different states are you going to?
I'm kind of in the middle of it. I think I'm doing 10 cities, and then I'm going to England and Ireland in the first week of July.
Do you like to travel?
There are parts of it I like. You know, travel is hard on everybody, but I'm looking forward to this particular trip because my publisher over there has published me from the first book, so we're having a 10-year celebration, and that should be fun. And, you know, everybody at my publishing house has been there since I've been there, so we've all sort of grown up in this business together. Get together with them.
Right, exactly. It sounds like it's a lot of trouble, but it sounds like it can be a lot of fun too.
Yeah, it can.
And that's good to see. And I'll never forget you taking me to that Orion party we went to years ago.
Yeah. Well, I hope you're at BoucherCon again this year.
Oh, I wish I could be. I don't know if I'm going to make it there, but I'm going to feel guilty if I don't go. So I'll have to work something out. But well, I certainly look forward to fall. And I guess you have to go. You're kind of on a schedule. It's been great to talk to Karen. You know how much I love you.
Yeah, I'm glad we could make it work.
I'm glad we could, too. This has been David's Book Talk, and we will... And the book, again, is called, by the way, Broken by Karen Slaughter. It's out in all your bookstores now. And this has been David's Book Talk, and we'll talk to you later.